are now tuned in to VAR Sports Media. We are here with the weekly hooping and hollering. We are heading into the NBA playoffs. Things are getting tight. Things are closing down. We're getting closer and closer. I've got my man, the coach, Jeff Axel, riding with us tonight, along with Tate Takes LLC. True will get here when he gets here. Ready to go. Axe, take us away. Run the point for us. Tonight, we're going to be covering teams that have more to gain, teams that are still in threat of being knocked out, and maybe some teams getting hot at the right time, some teams getting cold at the wrong time.
What's up, what's happening? It's the one and only Jeff Axel, leaving haters that stink like pterodactyls. Feeling good, feeling great. Like, it's been a lot of competitive games in both conferences these past few weeks. Teams are jockeying for position. One team I'm looking at, I don't want to be a hater or anything because Tay's on here, but the Knicks, they haven't been looking as sharp recently. I understand they have injuries, but they lost to the Spurs, although Jalen Brunson did have 61 points. Shout out to him for that. He didn't lose. They lost. And then they lost to the Thunder last night, and then they're down to the Heat at the moment. So I'm kind of wondering what's going on with the Knicks right now. Tay, can you explain?
Just tired. Everybody playing 40-plus minutes. Nothing to worry about. Like, every team goes through this, and it's not going to affect anything. You're still going to go to the playoffs. Like, I'm just tired right now, you know. It's kind of slacking. We'll shake back. Probably towards the middle of the week, maybe end of the week. But, yeah, we'll shake back. I'll just say it's fatigue, you know. Guys playing 40-plus minutes a night. So, nothing to worry about.
Is there anything to be gained by doing that? I mean,
are you really, you still got to make the playoffs.
I mean, but how many? Y'all are like a 3 seed, right?
Four. Nah, they're a 4 seed right now.
Yeah, but okay, you don't want to slip. Yeah, but you don't want to slip to 6, and then you don't have home court advantage. You still want to play to get the home court. At
least you're only 2 games ahead of the Pacers right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. So we don't have a choice. We have to play those guys that much, you know. Brunson doesn't play a lot, but everyone else does. Brunson plays about 35 minutes a game, but everyone else, they've been playing 40, 42, 46.
I think the Magic will pass y'all if y'all lose tonight, if I'm not mistaken. You're only half game ahead of them.
Yeah, I mean, they passed us before. We passed them back. We've been the 3 seed, the 6 seed. You know, they can have it for now. They're gonna lose, and yeah. So, you know, they can have a 4 seed for now. They're not gonna have that during the playoffs, but you know.
Magic is 7-3 in their last 10 games, though.
They're not gonna have the 4 seed. Like, I don't care if they're 100-0, they're not gonna have the 4 seed. And just let you know. You know that. You want that for them, but it's not gonna happen. You know that too.
Even in the last few games they lost by like 1 to the Clippers.
They lost to the Spurs by 2. Lost to the Thunder off a game winner. Like, it's the same thing. You know? Like I said, nothing to worry about. Lost to 2 close games. One was a buzzer beater by SGA, MVP candidate, you know? Nothing to worry about. This is like how they lose close games. We lost close games too.
As far as the play-in's concerned, got the Heat, they're 41-33. Then the Sixers getting Embiid back tonight. He's played about 21 minutes so far. He's currently playing. They're 40-35. Got the Bulls at 36-40, and the Hawks at 35-40. The Hawks have been playing better recently. DeJounte Murray played at a high level. DeAndre Hunter's played well. So they're looking pretty good. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as far as his playing is concerned.
I mean, we've seen him play, go head to head with the best and beat him repeatedly with the Celtics. So, and that's not meant to be a shot. I'm saying that sincerely. Like, if they can put out that type of effort and be victorious over a team that's that good, like the Celtics, then they could be dangerous and continue to get hot to sneak into these playoffs, I think.
Yeah, they're playing well at the right time. And if Jalen Johnson and Trae Young come back, I mean, we'll see what happens. But I'm interested to see. Like, the Bucks, they're still kind of wishy-washy. I want to say they are 17 and 14 underdog. Something along those lines.
Deserved. They deserve that.
Yeah, so I'm not really moved by them. They're the 2 seed, but teams in the play-in are lining up to play the Bucks for sure. And nobody fears that team at all.
What do you think? It's soft defense?
Yeah, and then like Giannis and Dame, they really haven't worked it out offensively together. Like, and the role players, like certain role players play well with certain guys.
How sweet it would be if this Doc thing blew up in their face and they dropped the first series to a much lower seeded team. True, you are the Hayton Hall of Fame. I think you would agree with me that it would be fucking glorious to see the Bucks get their just desserts and get smoked by a lower seed in the early times. What do you think?
I mean, you know already that when it comes to Doc Rivers, I don't wish nothing but the bad things in life to happen to him and nobody else but him. So I could honestly, first of all, let's be honest about Doc Rivers and his history as a coach, going back to Orlando, some of the stuff in Boston, the Clippers, 76ers. He's never been a coach that you could trust to really take you far. And I think the Bucks don't have the clientele. They don't have the personnel. They don't have what it takes to be a champion. Giannis can only get you so far. Chris Middleton's up and down. Dame is Dame, but what playoff moments have we seen Dame have in his history, right? There's no Dame moments we can go, yo, Dame went out there and he went crazy and, you know, he did this and he did that and he did this and he did that. And it's just like, nah, man, like, Dame has not shown what he can do in the playoffs. Chris Middleton has shown what he can do sometimes in the playoffs. I think we don't know what Bobby Portis is going to look like because he's basically their sixth man. Pat Connaughton, there's a depth issue, I think. There's a depth issue with the Bucks. And when you have a Doc Rivers team that doesn't have much depth, I don't trust them. And if you can build the wall, as they say, you can definitely make Giannis struggle a little bit. So, couldn't honestly say anything other than let's watch and let's wait because it's coming. Maybe sooner than later. I think you mentioned the play-in teams. The play-in teams are hungrier than the Bucks. The Bucks don't look very hungry. I mean, they just was struggling against the Wizards last I looked while we're recording this. I don't know. Maybe they came back or whatnot. But yeah, not expecting to see anything from the Bucks. I think they're a second round team at best. If not fully healthy, because Dame hasn't played in a long time too, so that's also a thing, right? Dame hasn't played. So what do you expect Dame to do in terms of, you know, what if he's not fully healthy by the time the playoffs roll around? Then you got it all on Giannis. You're not getting far at all. So I absolutely expect them to suffer at the hands of themselves. Yeah, like the other teams, the Bucks are going to beat themselves. The other teams have to show up to play, but the Bucks are going to beat themselves because Doc Rivers is an idiot. And I'll continue to say that.
Tay, what do you think of the trajectory of the Milwaukee Bucks?
The Bucks don't have any perimeter defenders, and like I say all the time, each championship team needs a perimeter defender to go to guard other teams' best player down the stretch. Like we can go down the line you can go back years and years. Every team has that one guy that can defend the team's best player, and they don't have that at all on their roster. So, and then on top of that, they have lineup issues. Like if they run into Boston, Brooke Lopez might not get as many minutes because you can play him off the court because of his perimeter defense. You know, they have too many defensive deficiencies for me to say they'll go to the championship. I mean, they can get to the conference finals. I mean, it wouldn't be all that hard. Like, you know, they could play like Chicago and Orlando. You know, like that's I'm not. You know, it could be a pretty easy road to that. But to get past Boston to get to the championship, nah. Just the roster's just not built correctly. You know, they just don't have it. It's, you know, and they have Doc Rivers. So when you get Doc Rivers, your chances go down. You know, I think I can coach better than Doc Rivers.
Well deserved. Any other risers and fallers here going down to the end of the season? You guys got thoughts on the East?
I definitely think that the Heat are angling to play the Bucks as far as the 7th seed. So I'll look out for that. I don't know if the Pacers are going to slip to the 7. It looked like they might stay secure in the 6 for the most part. So them and Cleveland could be an intriguing series. Cleveland's been slipping a little bit recently, too. They're 4-6 in their last 10. So I don't know. They had a couple bad losses. Like, if they match up with Miami, that's not good for them. Miami beat them by double digits a couple times last time they played. So I don't know. Cleveland, they're falling a bit. I'm not sure who's going to be the 3 or 4 seed at the moment. Since it's so close, 3 to 5. So we'll see. I'm intrigued. Orlando's rising. I think Orlando might snatch the 3.
True, what about you? Risers and fallers, people that you're focusing on here that were down in the last couple of weeks of the season in the East?
You know, I don't expect really any real falling. Everything is in the play-in, I think, right? I think I don't see the Knicks falling at all. You know, I know it is kind of tough right now with their whole situation with, you know, OG and the Julius Randle thing, which is kind of hovering over the team a little bit. Maybe the only movement I could see maybe is the Knicks overtaking the Cavaliers for the 3rd seed. That's pretty much all I could see right now. I think, you know, the Celtics are kind of set for the 1st seed. I think the Bucks are pretty set for the 2nd seed. I would love to see the Knicks get the 3rd seed. That's what I would like to see. I don't know for sure if that's going to be the case, but I think in terms of the play-in, the only opportunity I could see is maybe Miami maybe sneaking in 6th, but I think they like being in that play-in spot. Also, they haven't been very hungry this regular season, so I would go with the Heat staying where they are, the 76ers. It's such a big distance between the 76ers and the Bulls and the Hawks. I don't think anything's happening there. I'm 99% saying that these guys are pretty much set in stone. Like, everything's pretty much set in stone. I think even if we start looking at the West, I think a lot of things are just kind of set in stone for the most part. But I kind of do see the Knicks going on like a little bit of a late season run to get that 3rd seed. If I'm being honest, I think the matchup with the Knicks and the Pacers, there's a lot of history there with the Knicks and the Pacers over the years. So if the Pacers maintain 6 and the Knicks can move up to 3, I would absolutely love to see Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Halliburton go at it. So, and plus, I think that would be really entertaining. High offense versus amazing defense. That's what I want to see. So those are the only ones. But other than that, I think everything's set.
That wouldn't be a good series. I'm not gonna lie.
Of course, the resident Knicks fan is gonna say that. I think
you got the best defender in my lifetime on the team. Mm-hmm. It would be a sweep.
He's not even healthy. Get your boy healthy first.
Yeah, he will be.
We sure? We yeah, sure?
Tyrese isn't healthy. You didn't say anything about that.
I know he's not.
Right.
I know he's not fully healthy. But they got they have Pascal Siakam is on the Pacers now.
Dante DiVincenzo is better than him.
It's true. That's why they call him True.
Look, Pascal Siakam is a 20-point scorer, is an NBA champion, former All-Star. Yeah, he got
carry job by Kawhi Leonard. Don't give him that. Carry job. He watched Kawhi Leonard.
Hey, man, Siakam was giving Draymond a business.
Don't do that to Spicy P.
Kawhi didn't carry the team.
Spicy P.
Kawhi carried the team. Y'all know that, but you know, just trying to, you know, y'all, we all know.
If you really want to talk about that series, honestly, Kawhi has some moments where he was struggling too, though. You know, he was, you know, he won Finals MVP, but he had some moments where he was struggling. Siakam was giving Draymond a business. Looney couldn't stop him either. That was just that 2019 Finals. This is what it is. We don't know what Siakam's going to look like. Obviously, if he goes against the Knicks, in terms of, you know, right now it's the Cavs versus Pacers. I don't like the way it's not a fan of the Cavs. To me, I think the Knicks and the Pacers have a more exciting style clash against each other, whereas the Cavs and the Magic kind of fit more with their both of their brands of basketball. So that's why, for me, I think as a fan, I would like to see those two matchups as opposed to the Knicks and the Magic. And you know, as I'm saying this, I stop to think about the records, and the Magic themselves are like 44-31 right now. So they could even overtake the Cavs or the Knicks. It's always possible. So, I mean, and that, you know, that'd be interesting. But it's just that 3-5 spot is close. That 3-5 spot, I mean, I would say the 6 spot, 3-6 spot, but I don't think the Pacers are going to win out. So I don't think they have a shot at getting the third seed. But, yeah, I think for the most part, we got 1-2, and then it's 3-5. It's like, you know, toss a coin, see who ends up winning it. But I like the way the East is looking. We looking at a 76ers and Heat first play-in game. Looking at Bulls versus Hawks, I think most of those games healthy have been interesting. You know, have been interesting games. I'd be interested to see if the 76ers get healthy with Embiid, and I'm thinking Embiid came back tonight. So Maxey gets healthy, and then we could look at the Bucks versus either the Heat or the 76ers. That's an intriguing matchup. So I'm really just ready for the playoffs. The rest of these games, it means more for the West than it does. The rest of these games mean way more for the West than it does for the East right now. So
well there we go. Axe, take us out West in these meaningful games.
West's been intriguing. Once again, shout out to the OKC Thunder at the top of the West.
Yeah.
I mean that rumbling for SGA MVP is getting loud now. A lot of mainstreamers are starting to pick it up, so we'll probably deep dive that pretty hard next week. Schedule will probably be, we'll do this next week, we'll deep dive hard on some MVP talk because it'll be all but wrapped up, and then the next week after that we'll have potential matchups to talk about. But I'm saying now, the mainstream is starting to jump on this SGA for MVP situation. Keep going, Axe.
Yeah, 52-22. Jalen Jada Williams, like, he had a great game yesterday against the Knicks. What was it, 33 points?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he had a great game. Chet Holmgren still playing well. Like, Gordon Hayward, like, he's getting more comfortable. Kendrick Williams off the bench. Lou Dort. They just have a lot of depth. So,
you think really, they have a lot of depth?
Huh?
You really think they have a lot of depth?
Yes.
Like in the playoffs, like they have playoff depth. So. Like you trust 8 players on that roster?
We'll see.
They got Mike Muscala on that roster. Ooh, have some respect, young man.
That's a good one. Like, I don't know. That depth kind of worries me. Like that's starting five. Yes.
I mean, we gotta see what happens. Like
that's true. I'm just wanna see how you feel about, you know, their bench. I don't think they have a
I think a Joker have some moments in the playoffs.
That's your bench. Isaiah Joe.
Isaiah Joe.
That's not.
I like Aaron Wiggins. Aaron Wiggins got a little when he want to. I don't think he's gonna do anything. But
is he even gonna get minutes?
I mean,
the other Jalen Williams.
Who, Aaron Wiggins? Who
draws charges.
Yeah. In the playoffs? When Coach only plays 7-8 players.
Sometimes they go 9-10, depends. On a team, on a young team like this. They do. No, they definitely do. On a young team like this, they might have to.
Some moments.
Who's your,
It's a lot of guesses. Yeah. Like, you don't sound like confident in that. You're just saying like,
I mean, they're 22 years old. We haven't seen.
I know, that's why I'm asking you.
We haven't seen
this depth is good. You think this is playoff depth? You just said Isaiah Joe.
I mean, we gotta see
it. Isaiah Joe's a shooter, man. Come on now.
Yeah, and shooters do not do well in the playoffs. When like people like that, they
that's really not true. That's not true.
It is though.
That's not true.
In the past,
they do well, it's just they gotta play their role.
Name a shooter, like just a strictly sharpshooter that's done well past 5 years.
A strictly sharpshooter?
Yeah, it doesn't
work. I mean, how many strictly sharpshooters?
Duncan Robinson?
He's played Duncan Robinson had a couple good games. He got a couple good games. Not consistently, no. No, not consistently, no. Because it comes down to a lot of that off-ball movement, a lot of that passing the ball around. It becomes more ISO heavy in the playoffs because you got to stick to what you know. You got to shorten your rotation. So, yeah, I still think Isaiah Joe could be a force. As long as SGA got the ball and, you know, can draw the attention, you can get open shots. They're not, yeah. You know, they can't go. Also, then again, I have to see how SGA looks in the playoffs because his game sometimes can be a little predicated on, you know, contact, drawing contact. So,
yeah, I don't seem too confident.
We don't know. I was never confident about them.
He's questioning SGA. And then their benches, y'all just named Isaiah Joe as the best player off the bench. That's not good, and y'all know that. You know, how confident are y'all in the Thunder, like, going deep in the playoffs with all these question marks?
If they got to play the Lakers, I don't know. I'm taking the Lakers in the series.
Really?
Yeah.
The Lakers, that would be the team that would do it. Honestly, of all the play-in teams in the West, I would probably take three of the four against the Thunder. And the one that I wouldn't take is just because I don't think they're ready for the playoffs. And they just lost somebody who could be out for a while, for like 6 weeks. Yeah, I don't think the Kings would do it. I think the other three could do it.
Wow.
I think the other three, because you got star power, you got veterans. In playoffs, that comes down to it. You got you got Josh Giddey out there. What the fuck is Josh Giddey going to do in the playoffs here?
That's another thing. Fuck. That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you got, I mean, Chet is great. I think Chet is great too, but it's like, we've never seen him in the playoffs set. I think his game will translate fine in the playoffs, but you just don't know. There's too many question marks where it's like, if you look at the Lakers, you know what LeBron can do. You know what AD can do. If you look at the Suns, you know what KD can do. You know what Booker can do. Even look at the Warriors, you know what Steph can do. If Draymond can control himself on defense, you know, he's been proven to be a difference maker on defense. You know, so with the Kings, it's like, haven't really seen that, right? We haven't really seen it. We had one playoff series last year where they did take a whack-ass Warriors team to 7, and it took 50 points from Steph. But the vibe is not the same around that team, right? You know, vibe is just not the same. Like the Beam shit last year, it's just not the same. It's just, it doesn't feel the same. I think, not that they're a one-trick pony or like a one-season thing, but they're struggling. And losing Malik Monk, who is their sixth man, is definitely a problem going into the playoffs, because if Fox ain't got it one night, I don't, can you rely on Sabonis to go score and get all those buckets?
Not really.
That's not the strength of his game. So I feel like that's one of those things you kind of got to look at. And I'm not sold on them as a playoff team in general against the play-in teams, but the only thing could be that they're younger. And let's say like a Lakers or Warriors, you know, because those are the 9th and 10th seeds, so they're more than likely that's going to end up – one of those teams could end up being the 8th seed. So if – let's say the Lakers are the 8th seeds, but they have to go through the the Warriors, and then they got to beat the Kings or the Suns. You got old-ass LeBron. You got AD, who sometimes can't stay healthy. There is an opportunity for the Thunder to kind of prey upon that after the number one seed. And it's like, you know, LeBron could be tired. AD could, you know – so that's, and the same thing with the Warriors. If the Warriors were the 8th seed, they have Steph, they got Klay, they got Draymond. These are 34, 35, 36 year old men against, you know, young guys in their 20s. They could try to run those guys off the floor. in a 7-game series. So that is always a possibility that, you know, fatigue could set in for those teams. But I just don't trust them yet. And hopefully they prove me wrong. I would like to be proven wrong in this. But it's just I don't see it.
SGA's still in the MVP race, though. Like, just a great year from OKC.
I think he's still MVP. I just don't trust the team when it comes to the playoffs. It's like, you know, Harden won MVP. Russ won MVP. Jokic won an MVP. This is his first. I didn't necessarily think the Nuggets were going to go that far when he won his MVPs. So it's not always about like how far you go. It's just what you do in a regular season. And nobody's had, I think, the bigger superstar leap than SGA this season, I think. I mean, Luka was already there. Giannis is already there. Tatum was already there, basically. Jokic was already there. We know about KD. We know about Steph. We know about all these other guys. You know, I think he's the one that's just jumped, you know. He just leapfrogged. That's all. You know, he just leapfrog a lot of people. So really, really anxious to see what this MVP voting turns out to be. But I know we'll get into that more like next week.
Yeah, Luka definitely in the mix too with his recent play. Like 34-10-9. I know you had like screamed on this a couple weeks ago
about the damn right. I'm about to do it again.
Has Dallas surged at all? Have they moved up in the seed?
Yeah, they have. They're 5-seed right now.
Oh, well, there we go.
9-1 in their last 10.
Yes, sir.
9-1 in their last 10.
True's mark of standard was 6-seed at least. Well, we're money then.
Like I said, he wants them to win 75 games. So, you know, it's still not enough for him. But
shut up. That's not enough. I'm not saying that with the 75 ain't enough. They got to win 80 for me to be. So you got to go 80-2 in order to be MVP. You know, it's funny. The Mavericks, I think those should be the two now, Luka and SGA. Honestly, I think SGA is still my pick because it was a jump. But a lot of things have gone the Mavericks' way recently. You know, Pelicans were fifth, knocking on the door of fourth, and then they just completely fucked off. They just completely fucked. Like, I don't know what the hell happened with them. With the honestly. Like, yeah, like, they, because I thought they were about to overtake the Clippers. The anger, yeah, I know that hurt.
Yeah.
But I mean, even Zion was looking a little rough summer game. And the other game against the Suns, it's just like piss poor effort to me. You know, it's just piss poor effort. Like, I, you know, if you bet on that game, that was a great game to bet on in terms of most of the stats. But it just didn't, I don't know. I will say this, I will concede Luka has been playing great this season. You know, he's had a great season. You know, we'll see how these last couple games, you know, we got, what, 7-8 games left. We'll see how, you know, we'll see how that go. He could very well take it, you know. We know the NBA wants to get him something, some type of hardware, some type of trophy. So we could very well see it. Though.
You averaging 34-10-9 on 49%. Like, you just going out whooping ass.
Yeah,
he's playing great. No, he's playing great. It's just, to me, I guess I'm just looking at him from a perspective of like, all right, you still have Kyrie Irving next to you. Where if I look at OKC, that's just all it is. Like, that's always been the thing of MVP, though. It's like, if you have teammates that are good enough, then, you know.
The Thunder got a good team, though.
Yeah, but like, you don't have. I don't know. I feel like Luka's thing was they up. We said it at the deadline. They upgraded their team a pretty good amount. Right. Even though, you know, so when you look at, oh, they upgraded their team and now they're doing better. I feel like those things kind of coincide, and it feels like the OKC ain't nobody, what, Gordon Hayward, ain't nobody checking for that nigga. So yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like they made any big improvements. And I just think, you know, it's not even a big difference too, right? It's not even a big difference. This feels almost like the Harden and Russ 2017 type of deal, right? Where, except Russ didn't have a all-star-esque talent really next to him, you know, unless you want to consider, was it Oladipo and, what was it, Sabonis?
Sabonis? Yeah, old dude was Sabonis was there. It was young Sabonis, so.
Yeah, young Sabonis, right? So, yeah. So, I feel like it's kind of similar in that way where, like, Russ was going out and putting up these triple-doubles and these crazy scoring numbers. And then Harden had, you know, slightly better overall team, but he was clearly the engine behind it. And they eventually went with Russ because Russ was making history. Luka's been making history, too, so. But SGA's also making history. So, it's one of those flip a coin things. I think people also want to give it to Jokic. I do not feel like you should – I don't know. I don't feel like Jokic – I feel like Jokic is like third to me right now. He's like third on the MVP ladder. Although they're number two, Jamal Murray's been out. The Nuggets, you know, starting to get a little lazy.
They don't need Murray right now, back, like, for sure.
They definitely going to need it. Because even then, right, that's another conversation. If the Nuggets finish second or the Timberwolves finish second, it's like, what's the more favorable matchup for the seventh seed? Like, if you're the Suns or you're the Kings, and it looks like those are going to be the two teams that are going to be fighting it out for the seventh seed.
Yeah.
It's like, do you want the Nuggets? Are you praying the Nuggets drop to third?
I'll say this, Denver.
Low key, the Suns played the Nuggets pretty well. They don't play other teams well. They took three L's to the Spurs for whatever reason, but they beat the Nuggets, I think, two or three times this year.
Yeah, they're not going to be playoff Denver, though. No way.
Nah, I don't think they'll beat them in series. I'm just saying.
Nah, not the playoffs, no.
Nah. They'll give them a lot. They'll push them a bit. It ain't going to be a sweep.
Not with Bradley Beal on the team. I just don't see that. Honestly. Bradley Beal out there, nah, you good. But, I mean, then again, you never know. You do not know, right? I mean, KD could go out there and give him 40, and Book could go out there and give him 35. And what you gonna do with that?
Stop. Yep. Nah, them KD days are over. They've been over since
Golden State. You only KD needs 30 in the playoffs.
He said 40. No way. Them days are long gone.
The 30, Smurdy, 40, 40, whatever, man.
KD not the same guy no more.
Well, he has lost a step. He definitely can't drive the same like he used to. That's pretty obvious.
He's just not that guy. Like that. Like, remember that Brooklyn series when he had like 50 something? Like, that's no longer in him no more.
Against what? Milwaukee, right?
Yeah.
Against Milwaukee.
Yeah. His foot was on the line and he ain't scored.
He had no choice.
That's not in him no more.
He had no choice. He don't have to do that no more, though, because he got booked. And
again, whatever you do, you got to do that. I mean, like, somebody got to do it to beat them.
Well, the one thing that people have said is possibility, which could be a possibility. I don't know. But could be. The Suns could have been just kind of lying in wait, kind of half-assing it, waiting to get to this point, and now they can turn up. Maybe. That's always a possibility. But their one big deficiency, to me, has and always will be, their defense. Because KD is probably their most hungry defender when he's playing defense. But he's 30, 35, 36. He had, you know, an Achilles injury. He's had multiple, you know, nagging injuries over the last couple of years. Can you sustain that? I don't know. Could we see Aaron Gordon give KD some trouble in the first round matchup? Can Jamal Murray and Bradley Beal, like, who's guarding who in that? You know, KCP, if you're putting KCP on Book, I'm gonna take Book every time. That's just me personally. But it's like, you know, Devin Booker's also, that's the X factor. Like, and then I guess you know what? I'm getting ahead of myself. Because it could also be the Sacramento Kings. And we could get Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox against the Nuggets, which would, to me, would be probably a more favorable matchup without Malik Monk. So
yeah,
I mean, the way the Lakers are playing recently, especially Bron, shout out to him with 40 points on 13 and 17 from the field. Like, to do what he's doing insane at this age is amazing. Like,
old ass man still cooking. All these old ass players still be cooking. You know who's the X factor for the Lakers and how far they go? It's not Bron. It's not AD. It's D'Angelo Russell. And I hate to say that. But when he's on, they look dangerous because he is the third complement. He's the complement to Bron and AD. Bron and AD been healthy all season, damn near, right? Or mostly.
Yeah.
And they still been struggling. You know, they're now 10 games over 500. So, but remember before when they were talking about trading D'Lo, they were struggling. They was 10th, 9th. They still been 9th, 10th because the West is just a bloodbath, right? But it's like when D'Angelo Russell upped his game, that's when the Lakers went from we close to 11th to we're firmly here at like 9th. And we were knocking on the door at 8th. They still, technically, they still are, right? That technically, they still are. They got the same amount of wins as the Kings right now. They just two losses behind. So without Malik Monk, the Kings could drop down. You know, the if the Kings drop down, and so there is also that too, right? There is a bit of serendipity that could happen for the NBA where your playing game is not the Suns versus the Kings, but it could be the Suns versus the Lakers. And it could be the Kings versus the Warriors. With Steph going back into Sacramento, unfortunately, Malik Monk is who helped cook the Warriors this year. The Kings have had good success against the Warriors this year, but there's a storyline there. And how serendipitous would it be for the NBA to get the Los Angeles Lakers and the Golden State Warriors somehow into the playoffs, because those are your ratings kings. And if I'm the NBA, the Lakers schedule was actually fairly easy. So was the Warriors schedule, as like outside of this Dallas, these two Dallas games, and I think that one Lakers game, I think their schedule was fairly easy mostly games against teams that aren't, I think, over 500 or something like that. So we could see the Lakers go on a nice run, overtake the Kings. Kings got a couple tough games. Actually, the Kings have a lot of tough games. I actually just looked at their schedule. A lot of tough games for the end of the they about to play the Clippers. Luckily, Kawhi Leonard is out. By the time this is airing and you're listening to it, they may have won or lost. But if they lose and they're 43-32, they would be only a half game above the Lakers.
Mm.
8th. And if the Lakers continue playing like they're playing, and we get, once again, I think Tay said, nobody wants to see, we all kind of said it, right? I wouldn't want to see the Nuggets first round. So, I mean, I don't know. The West is a bloodbath. I mean, the 11th seed is the Houston Rockets. And they're going toe-to-toe with the Timberwolves. As we're recording this, well, not so much toe-to-toe anymore. They were like down 3 when I last checked. I looked up, they're down like 14, 15. But they've been on point. So that makes you think about, you know, what if the Rockets could overtake the Warriors? It doesn't seem like that's likely right now because the Rockets can't seem to string enough wins. So it looked like the West was set, but I don't know, man. I think if we get a Nuggets-Lakers rematch in the first round, and then, and this is just me, but this is the wrestler, this is the wrestling in me, right, Eric? This is the wrestler in me. Right? This is the with fantasy booking, kind of what the league would want. You get the Suns versus the Lakers. The Lakers beat the Suns. Then you get the Suns versus the Warriors in the final playoff game. KD versus Steph. And then whoever wins gets to go against, let's say OKC maintains the number one seed. It's like, who gets to go against that young Oklahoma City team? And if it's the Warriors, then you go all the way back to 2016, right? Which is the last time I think Steph faced the Oklahoma City Thunder in a playoff series. So, like, there's a bunch of storylines that could weave in there for these old men and these young guys. If I'm the league, that's the way you got to go. Or Clippers versus Mavericks at 4-5 as a playoff story. Luka versus Kawhi. They put out Kawhi before. I mean, Kawhi and them put out Luka before. Luka got backup now. Luka got James Harden. He got, you know, Daniel Gafford in the post. He got, I mean, I guess he got P.J. Washington. I don't really know what he really – he's really done. And then you got Derek Lively, he's been showing a little promise here and there. And if you do Timberwolves versus the Pelicans, I don't think they get Cat back in enough time. But you got Ant versus Zion. Great storylines. These are great storylines for the league. So I see something. I see something with the West playoffs building. It just depends on how it goes. I think the Lakers are going to overtake the Kings for eighth, though. I fully believe that at this point. Good. I fully believe that.
Well, we hope that nobody overtakes us as the number one seed in your podcast rotation. Just a quick rundown again. This group is coming at you just about every other day here on these airwaves. I don't know. I'm thinking I meant to talk to you about it, True, but the way that things synced up tonight, probably no week in wrestling this week as Brother True will be out and about outside in the WrestleMania
seedings. I will not be out and about in the WrestleMania particular. I will be at Wale Mania on Thursday.
Plus,
that is it.
Plus, if we record, after Wale Mania, the city ain't going to let you go. A week in wrestling, it would be obsolete like 2 hours after we released it. So probably none of that this week. But we got Football Friday. This week we're doing offensive line and defensive line in the NFL draft prospects. So check us out on Friday. And right now, very, very special, spectacular. Our show with the United Football Media on the United Football Media YouTube channel, covering the United Football League, Spring Football League, welcomed a viral sensation, internet legend, Kennedy Smith. She's a Texas A&M track girl. She came on our show and did a fantastic job covering the Houston Roughnecks and talking about her roles with them. It's a fantastic interview. It's a fantastic show. Go check out United Football Media on YouTube. Tell me about it. That's our show that we do for them. As you can see, between welcoming queens of the internet like Kennedy Smith, between being outside at Wale Mania, some interesting interactions might happen there with Brother True. If NFL draft coverage, the more and more every day. The world of DAR just never stops.